94.5 CT Hayward. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Authorities in Iowa continue to investigate the school shooting Thursday in Perry that left a sixth grader dead and five others hurt. Those who survived are telling their stories. Ninth grader Anthony Ubaldo saw the suspect in the bathroom before the shooting.
It's just traumatizing because honestly, he could have just killed me then and there and I wouldn't be here right now.
The suspect, a 17-year-old student, died of a self-inflicted gunshot wound. President Biden today will deliver his first campaign speech of the year near Valley Forge, Pennsylvania. His campaign says it will focus on democracy. Secretary of State Antony Blinken's in the Middle East for the fourth time since the Hamas-Israel war began. The U.S. is seeking to prevent a regional escalation. Next hour, the Labor Department's December jobs report will be released. Economists are projecting it will show that 170,000 jobs were added last month. This is ABC News. Nevada is now looking for ways to increase courtroom security after a judge was attacked at a criminal hearing this week.
The shocking moment as defendant Deobra Redden, being sentenced for aggravated battery, appeared to fly over the judge's bench, attacking her. Now courtroom security is under review and more marshals are possible. Chief Judge Jerry Weiss saying it's a unique situation.
As far as I know, it's never happened before with somebody supermanning over a judicial bench.
Judge Mary Kay Holthus, who was attacked, was already back at work on Thursday and is sore but recovering. Alex Stone, ABC News.
A warning from a YouTuber who intentionally crashed a small plane over California. Trevor Jacob now tells ABC News it was not worth it.
When I jumped out of that plane, I had no idea I committed any type of crime whatsoever. It turned out that I actually committed five felonies.
Jacob sentenced this week to 6 months in federal prison for the stunt that was staged for social media. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
Latrell spent more than 8 years in foster care. His world changed when he was adopted at 15 with help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption.
I think about how much we love him, and I wish we could have had him for his entire childhood.
The Foundation is changing the lives of thousands of teens waiting in foster care. You can help. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A public memorial for Senator Herb Kohl is a week from Friday in Milwaukee. Kohl helped build his family's chains of grocery and department stores. He served four terms as a U.S. senator, and he owned the Milwaukee Bucks for many years. People can make donations in Kohl's name to the La Follette School of Public Affairs, the Milwaukee Jewish Federation, and Wisconsin Teachers Classroom Projects. 47 groups led by farmers got $1 million worth of grants from the state of Wisconsin last year. The money from the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protections supports farmer-led initiatives to improve Wisconsin's soil and water quality. This is the ninth round of grant awards since funding was first made available in the 2015-2017 state budget. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
The Bucks win in San Antonio. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It was close, but the Bucks pulled off a 125-121 win over the Spurs. Giannis on facing Victor Wembanyama for the first time.
He's unbelievable. Unbelievable talent. Can score at will anytime he wants. Plays the right way. Plays to win. It was great playing against him.
Spurs head coach Greg Popovich on how the game ended.
What I wanted was a different call on the last play where Giannis got a three-point play. But sometimes the calls go for you, sometimes they go against you, and you got to live with it.
College hoops, number 21 ranked Wisconsin Badgers host the Nebraska Cornhuskers tomorrow, 1:15 at the Kohl Center. NFL, if tight end Luke Musgrave plays this Sunday against the Bears, will he be concerned about a hit to his back where he suffered that lacerated kidney?
Yeah, I think, I don't know if you can think too deeply on it because that's just going to slow you down.
That's Packers rookie tight end Luke Musgrave with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
We have some light snow on the way from this afternoon through tonight and through most of Saturday, even into Saturday night, looking at around 1 to 3 inches by the time everything winds down late Saturday night. Today, cloudy. Snow will develop this afternoon, 31. Tonight, 26. Tomorrow, light snow, 33. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now, 24.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. Rice Lake's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
And good morning. It is 7:06 on this Friday, January 5th, 2024. Nice to have you along. Coming up this hour, in just moments, we'll talk to Nicole Safar from Law Forward about the case before the Wisconsin Supreme Court that struck down the gerrymandered maps that have been in use for about a dozen years here, and how the case was built and where the case goes from here, and whether voters really will have new and fairer maps in time for the elections coming up this November. In our second half hour, Dave Mahoney, the former sheriff of Dane County, will join us and talk about tomorrow's third anniversary of the January 6th insurrection, the attack on the United States government by a violent mob. And former Sheriff Mahoney has some thoughts on how that was far from some isolated incident. You know, the assaults on democracy are continuing from right here within the United States, and we'll talk to him about that coming up at 7:30. Dan Schumacher will be joining us as well near the end of the program to talk about sports as we head into the weekend. But right now, let's talk about the weather. 7 o'clock temperatures around the state include 28 up here on Lake Wissota, 24 in Hayward. Park Falls, 22. Wausau, 25. Green Bay reporting 25 degrees right now. La Crosse, you're at 28. Wisconsin Rapids, 26. Oshkosh, 26. Madison is up to 23 now. Waukesha still in the teens at 19 degrees. Let's see how things are shaping up for the weekend as we bring in Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlo from the Wausau area to tell us all about what's up for this coming weekend weather-wise. Brittany, good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys doing today?
Well, we're doing good so far, but I'm hearing all these rumors of, you know, maybe light snow here, maybe heavy. We're still looking at something for next week, right? How is this all shaping up?
Yeah, so right now we're looking at just a cloudy day today, temperatures flirting with that freezing mark. And as we go into tonight, a slight chance of some flurries flying back in here as our next system kind of pushes across Minnesota. So that could bring us some light snowfall into our Northwoods. Really just looking at around 1 to 2 inches. Some areas could see 3 to 5, but that's, of course, going to be much closer to Lake Superior with that lake effect snow as that system pushes out of here. So some light snowfall possible down further south and towards central Wisconsin through Saturday afternoon, really just looking at a trace to a half an inch. So not a big hitter, but a little bit of light snowfall, make it look a little pretty, cover that brown grass for this weekend. And then that system pushes out of here by Saturday night. So if you're headed out and you're going to the frozen tundra for the Packers-Bears game on Sunday, that system should be out of here. The roads should be good to go. Just a few light flurries flying around Sunday morning early, and then still warmer temperatures. We'll be above freezing for the game on Sunday into the mid-30s, cloudy skies, calm winds out of the west at about 10 miles per hour. and not much going on until the next snow system that wants to strike more towards Chicago on Tuesday. But of course, that is going to fling some snowfall our way. We're just not going to get the brunt of it. However, there is a system towards the end of next week that does maybe want to hit us, but we're tracking them all. The jet stream is weakened. The pattern is moving. We're going to see a lot more active weather as we go through the next 2 weeks.
So at some point, I have to get used to hearing meteorologists using the word wobble. It seems about this time every winter, a storm is coming, and they remind us now the storm, here's the potential track, but it could wobble, you know, this way or that way. And right now, Chicago appears to be in the crosshairs. But again, we're going to get to that normal winter weather, whether it's early in the week or later in the week. You know, I'm sure you're going to stay on top of that and let us know where it's coming and when.
Oh, 100%. That's my life. I'm obsessed. I got you guys.
There we go. We love it. Brittany Merlot, thanks so much. Have a great weekend.
You too.
All right. Great to talk to you, as always, here across the Civic Media Radio Network, weather reports throughout the day. Let's turn our attention now to the case of the gerrymandered maps. And Nicole Safar from Law Forward is going to join us now to talk about bringing the case, winning the case, at least for the moment, where the case goes from here, and most importantly, the end result, whether and when we get fairer maps for Wisconsin voters. Nicole, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. So nice to be here.
Nice to have you here. I think congratulations are in order for that ruling by the state Supreme Court. Let me put this kind of bluntly at first, because the contiguity argument that these districts aren't contiguous, that's pretty blatantly in the Wisconsin Constitution, as is the word anew, as in, you know, the map should be drawn anew every 10 years. So for anybody that claims to be like an originalist, you know, about the Constitution, they should have looked at these conservatives and Republicans and said, you're the ones not adhering to the original intent. I mean, is it really that basic, Nicole, that the Law Forward case was about, you know, sticking to the protections that are in the Wisconsin Constitution when it comes to Assembly and Senate maps?
It is a huge piece and the core of the case. So it really is that basic. You know, I think I've been a lawyer for most of my career in Wisconsin for about 20 years. And I think one thing that we've seen in the federal court, certainly, and in a lot of state court decisions, is that originalism only means originalism to get to the result that you want.
Right.
It is a strategy that has been used to ignore the Constitution, both the state and federal Constitution, over and over and over again. So, yes, the core of the Clark case, the Fair Maps case, is about plain language in the Wisconsin Constitution that says state legislative districts must be contiguous.
So that was the argument. That's what ultimately, you know, won the argument at the state Supreme Court, the way that it is currently composed. But now, where do we go from here? The decision came out on the Friday before Christmas, in that mid to late afternoon period. What are the next steps that Law Forward and the other parties in the case have to be following?
Yeah. So it was a huge victory first. I do just want to take a minute and say that so many people across the state have been working for over a decade to break the extreme partisan gerrymander that we live under in Wisconsin. And this case, Law Forward and our co-counsel at Stafford Rosenbaum and the Campaign Legal Center and the Election Law Clinic at Harvard, we brought this case representing 19 Wisconsin voters from all across the state, from districts that have been acutely aware of how the partisan gerrymander really makes our state legislative leaders unaccountable to the voters in their district. So I don't think it can be understated what an incredible development this is and how close we now finally are to getting fair maps for voters in our state. So the next steps are really, the court has said, the current legislative maps are unconstitutional. They cannot be used again for another election. So that means for the election in the fall or in August and the fall this year. So the parties are going through the process right now of creating what are called remedial maps. So maps to fix the problem of the current maps being unconstitutional. And all the parties, so the Clark plaintiffs, our clients, the governor's office, the Democratic state senators who are parties in this case, there are some academics who are parties in this case, the gerrymandered state legislative leaders, and then another right-wing organization. All of us get to submit our own version of the maps to the court. And we'll be doing that on January 12th. And then we get about a week to look at the other parties' maps and go back to the court and tell the court why we think our maps continue to be the best, which is what our opinion is that we've been working on our maps for weeks now and are really excited about how well they comply with the standards the court set out. So we'll get a chance to go back and say, here are all the problems with the other maps. This is why you should pick our maps. And then after this kind of two rounds of briefings to the court, the court has appointed two independent experts, Dr. Bernard Groffman and Dr. Jonathan Service, who will look at all of the information that's been submitted to them, who will look at all of the maps that have been submitted and do an assessment about which of the maps best meets the standards that the court set out. So that'll happen the end of January. We'll get a report from these experts, I believe, on February 2nd. And then the parties will have one more chance to provide feedback on what the experts say. And then the court will ultimately make its decisions. So, you know, the court will have all of the information that it needs by the beginning, mid-February. And then the goal is to get the decision and the maps that will be used for the 2024 state legislative races in place by mid-March.
You're sounding very optimistic about the timeline, and regular listeners here will know that I've asked pretty much everybody about my concern that somehow this will be slow walked, either the Republican legislators looking for a delay tactic or the U.S. Supreme Court's conservative justices agree to take up something and then they slow walk it so that, again, you miss that critical March deadline and you don't have maps in time for this November. We've seen in other states where they've had to stick with gerrymandered maps despite court rulings. So I'm not asking you, it's not your job to put me entirely at ease, but to what degree do you share any of my concern about this being slowed down?
Look, you know, I think that getting fair maps in the state of Wisconsin is an existential threat to the gerrymandered Republican leadership in our state. And I have no doubt that they will try to do everything that they possibly can to delay, to prevent this case from happening. We've already seen it, you know, over the last year, they have tried all kinds of extreme and outlandish tactics. But at the end of the day, and the US Supreme Court, I'm sure they will try to get the US Supreme Court involved. But at the end of the day, what this case is about is Wisconsin law, the Wisconsin Constitution, and the Wisconsin Supreme Court is the final arbiter of the Wisconsin Constitution. That's how our federal system works.
That's exactly how it's supposed to work. Nicole Safar from Law Forward is joining us. We'll take a 90-second pause here, continue our conversation about getting fairer maps to the voters of Wisconsin. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin, when you're here, you're up north. Back in just a bit.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Her name is Pam Yonke, but you can just call the host of the Midwest Farm Report, the Fabulous Farm Babe.
That's right, and the Fabulous Farm Babe is now part of the Civic Media team on your local station, Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM in Hayward. Here's show host Todd Alba with the announcement.
She is a broadcast legend. Doesn't matter whether you're a farm person, ag person, a producer, or just a good old Wisconsinite or a Packer fan. Pam Jahnke, welcome to Civic Media.
My pleasure, my pleasure. Yeah, lifelong Wisconsinite. I grew up on a small dairy farm in northeast Wisconsin, O'Connell County. Stop and think about the work being done 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to make sure that you and I are the best fed in the world.
Join the fabulous farm babe Pam Jahnke on The Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM in Hayward.
Your Midwest Farm Report, weekdays from 5 until 6 a.m. You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Still to come, former Dane County Sheriff Dave Mahoney talks about the January 6th anniversary. And again, it was on this day in 1965, the Supremes recorded this little ditty from Motown. We are talking to Nicole Safar from Law Forward about the case of Wisconsin's gerrymandered legislative maps, a Supreme Court ruling that calls for new maps and where we go from here. Let me back up a step first, Nicole, and have you tell folks briefly about Law Forward. Now, people are used to, you know, law firms that have all these names that sound like a phone book by the time you get four or six names on there. But Law Forward is very simply titled as a group made up of what and dedicated to what, Nicole?
Yeah, so it's really awesome that your listeners are going to get to hear from Sheriff Mahoney after me talking about January 6th and 2020 and this kind of coordinated effort that has been happening in our country to really undermine free and fair elections. Law Forward is a pro-democracy legal organization that was launched in the fall of 2020, so right before the presidential election. And from the very beginning, the idea was to have a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization that could bring litigation around democracy issues like fair maps, like access to the ballot, like checks and balances, restoring checks and balances to our government in a strategic way and in a way that partners with other nonprofit organizations like the League of Women Voters, the organizations that have been working on pro-democracy issues on the ground for years. And we started with one lawyer, and now we are up to seven lawyers 3 years later, and really working to fill a gap that I think we didn't even know existed in Wisconsin. So it started with fair maps, and we're continuing to work on fair maps, but we also do a lot of voting rights. We do a lot of election administration work. We do a lot of work supporting the Wisconsin Voting Rights Coalition and other folks who are doing nonpartisan get out the vote work in our state.
In terms of the gerrymandered maps case, would you address the argument that we hear from Republicans and conservatives that this had already been litigated, adjudicated, it was settled law? And I now really want to go off on a tangent about the irony of making that argument, but I'm going to let you do it. This notion that these maps were already scrutinized by a court and that this is duplicative and partisan political.
So, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, you know, this case is a case that's being brought by Wisconsin voters about the Wisconsin Constitution. And initially, we did ask the court to consider whether or not a partisan gerrymander violated the Wisconsin Constitution. We had made several claims. That was one of them. The contiguity was another one. The court said it was not going to take up the gerrymander question at this time and took up contiguity, as we've already talked about. But these are questions that the Wisconsin Supreme Court has not fully grappled with. It's not that the redistricting and the idea of maps has been litigated many times in Wisconsin, and I have no doubt will continue to be litigated in the 2030s and 40s until we get a real policy solution for how Wisconsin will draw our maps. and maybe even after. But the specific questions that the court is considering are not questions that have been answered before. And at the end of the day, that is what our court system is for, is to come in and answer questions that have been unable to find solutions at the policy and political level. And I think that's one thing we've seen with these extreme gerrymandered maps, which, by the way, we have seen federal courts, we've seen investigative reporting, we've seen academic analysis over the last decade that unequivocally shows our state legislative maps are wildly unfair. I don't think anyone disagrees with that. And what you see on the other side and what you see by these right-wing interests and the leaders of the gerrymandered legislature is a lot of talk about the process, but nothing actually about the substance of their unconstitutional maps. So this is not the court just changing its mind every year. This is a real constitutional question that we don't have an answer for.
And the thing is, with constitutional questions, I mean, they're always valid. If memory serves, it was Mark Gaber, an attorney from the Campaign Legal Center, when asked by conservative Justice Rebecca Bradley, you know, where were you a couple of years ago when this was reviewed? And his answer was along the lines of, well, something that's unconstitutional, but may not have been found unconstitutional a couple of years ago, but is unconstitutional, can still be reviewed to see if it's unconstitutional. And that's basically the foundation of bringing this particular challenge on contiguity, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, Mark is one of our co-counsel on this case. And he is, like you said, with the Campaign Legal Center. He grew up in Rhinelander. And just like so many of us, I'm so sure so many of your listeners, we have been working to get fair maps in Wisconsin for almost a decade through, you know, organizing, through trying to pass policies. I think the perfect example of how the gerrymandered is just set up to perpetuate itself is that we have broad support for an independent redistricting process in the state of Wisconsin. And yet our legislature, our gerrymandered legislature, refuses to listen to the voters who've passed resolutions across the state in at the local county board level, who have lobbied in the state capitol, who have shown up and said, we demand fair maps. And the gerrymandered legislature just looks the other way. They don't have to do anything about it because their seats are so safe.
So along with this gerrymandering case, let's end by looking forward between now and November, the kinds of things Law Forward is preparing for in terms of protecting voting rights in Wisconsin. What should people be on the lookout for that might require Law Forward's legal assistance?
So we've had a couple of other big wins in the last few weeks around the issues of absentee ballots and what voters need to do to ensure their absentee ballots are counted. You know, these same right-wing lawyers and activists who are trying to keep the gerrymandered maps are also really trying to use the legal system to weaponize our election administration system and to pressure or get municipal clerks to throw out ballots that are completely valid ballots but might have a technical or immaterial error. So we got a great decision in Dane County saying that absentee ballots, I don't know if how many of your listeners use vote by mail or absentee ballots, but what you do, right, is you fill out your ballot, you put it in an envelope, you sign the envelope and put your address on it, and then you have to have a witness also sign the envelope and put their address on it. And essentially, the case makes sure that if your ballot is properly sealed and you've signed it and your witness has signed it, it won't be thrown out if your witness forgets to put their zip code on it or something like that. So we're really, I think, encouraging people to go to myvote.wisconsin.gov, make sure you're registered at your residence, request your absentee ballots for the year, and then follow the directions and submit your ballots early.
And Law Forward will make sure that, yeah, again, some of this.
And we'll be there making sure. Yep.
Make sure that your vote counts. Nicole Safar from Law Forward, thank you very much. Congratulations again. Have a great day. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
When we come back, former Dane County Sheriff Dave Mahoney talking about the January 6th anniversary. Back after this, you're up north.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Authorities in Iowa continue to investigate the school shooting Thursday in Perry that left a sixth grader dead and five others hurt. Those who survived are telling their stories. Ninth grader Anthony Ubaldo saw the suspect in the bathroom before the shooting.
It's just traumatizing because honestly, he could have just killed me then and there and I wouldn't be here right now.
The suspect, a 17-year-old student, died of a self-inflicted gunshot wound. President Biden today will deliver his first campaign speech of the year near Valley Forge, Pennsylvania. His campaign says it will focus on democracy. Secretary of State Antony Blinken's in the Middle East for the fourth time since the Hamas-Israel war began. The U.S. is seeking to prevent a regional escalation. Next hour, the Labor Department's December jobs report will be released. Economists are projecting it will show that 170,000 jobs were added last month. This is ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Making simulations of child pornography with artificial intelligence may become a crime in Wisconsin. A legislative committee heard testimony Wednesday on a bill. State Representative Calvin Callahan says AI images are created from real photos, and he says those kids are victims. Voting is good for your health, according to the American College of Physicians. Research shows states with fewer barriers to voting have better health outcomes. ACP President Omar Attic.
If there is more voter participation, there will be better health care policies and therefore better health care.
Wisconsin's ballot access ranked 47th in the 2022 Cost of Voting Index. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
We have some light snow on the way from this afternoon through tonight and through most of Saturday, even into Saturday night, looking at around 1 to 3 inches by the time everything winds down late Saturday night. Today, cloudy. Snow will develop this afternoon, 31. Tonight, 26. Tomorrow, light snow, 33. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now, 24.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Hi, I'm Pete Schwabe, an actor, writer, director, and comedian. Join me for my new show, Nightlight, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll chill after a long day in traffic, talking politics, or trying to look busy at work. We'll talk movies, TV, theater, music, and lots of fun Wisconsin stuff. So mix an old-fashioned and join the discussion. We'll go from Wisconsin to Hollywood and back, and you can still be in bed by 10. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 8 to 10. On the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
One in four Americans today are living with a disability. I'm one of them. People with disabilities are extremely talented, resilient problem solvers that have so much to offer. And we've got a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on, Easter Seals. Easter Seals is leading the way to full equity, inclusion, and access to healthcare, employment, and education for people with disabilities, families, and communities. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours.
Learn more and get involved at EasterSeals.com.
Sawyer County's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Oh.
Tomorrow marks 3 years since the violent attack on the seat of United States government, part of the culmination of an effort by former President Donald Trump to seize control of the government and overturn an election that he had lost. Many people speaking out on this anniversary about keeping its importance in mind, among them former Dane County Sheriff Dave Mahoney, who has an opinion column in this morning's Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. I sat down with him late yesterday to ask him what motivated him to pen that editorial and his law enforcement-based message about remembering January 6th. I asked him what motivates him to speak out on this anniversary. In your role in law enforcement, your career in law enforcement, what is it that motivates you to speak up as we approach the third anniversary of these attacks?
Well, Pat, I spent 41 years in law enforcement, the last 15 as the elected Dane County Sheriff in Madison, Wisconsin. And I remember 41 years ago raising my right hand to uphold the Constitution of the United States of America, to ensure the rights of all our citizens to enjoy the democracies that we are given. What we saw on January 6th of 2021 was nothing more than an assault on those democracies and an undermining of our democratic processes, an attempt to overthrow a fair election. And as a citizen, one of our most basic rights is the right to elect those representatives at the local, state, and federal level who will ensure our beliefs, our priorities, and our dreams. And as we approach the election of 2024, I'm concerned, greatly concerned, that there is a continued attack, an assault, if you will, on our democracies, the basic rights of our citizens. And that's what motivated me to write this piece.
This is a column that I think reminds folks that not only were there attacks on law enforcement on that terrible day, but to try to overturn an American election is also an attack on the voters themselves, that this was not an attack on, you know, a vote total that they didn't like. This went much deeper than that. So let's start with the law enforcement standpoint, however, and the importance. Look, you can be in law enforcement and be a supporter of Republican candidates and causes, or you can be in law enforcement and be a supporter of Democratic candidates and causes. Why is it, in your view, that members of law enforcement should not see this through a partisan lens?
You know, the men and women of law enforcement on January 6, 2021 in Washington, D.C. were the epitome of public service. Some put their lives down. Some lost their lives in the protection of our Constitution and the rights of our citizens, all of our citizens in all 50 states. And it's imperative that law enforcement not take a partisan view, because we serve the people. The authority given to us, the priorities given to our leaders that were given to me as a sheriff, were given to me by all citizens, not one partisan political party. I prided myself on the support that I garnered in our community of those who belong to both major political parties and those who identified themselves as independent or non-political party, because they knew that my role, my priorities, and my commitment was to ensure the rule of law.
We are talking to former Dane County Sheriff Dave Mahoney on Up North News Radio, and his column, January 6th, A Moment to Reflect, A Time for Resolve and Reform. When we look not just at what was behind the January 6th insurrection, but looking ahead. You note in here that there are some essential tools that can preserve the integrity of our elections and ensure that every citizen has equal access to the ballot box. Why is it that you feel it's important to speak out about the Freedom to Vote Act and the John Lewis Voting Rights Advancement Act? What is the importance of that in terms of restoring some people's faith in our democratic system?
Well, I think what we saw on January 6, 2021, in its basic form, has scared some of our citizens away from the political process. It has diminished their confidence in the political process, and has, in some cases, I think among some of our citizens, developed a mindset that they don't count. And so I think both the Freedom to Vote Act and the John Lewis Voting Rights Advancement Act are two critical pieces of legislation that is moving forward and needs to continue to be moved forward with the support of all of our elected federal officials in the legislative branch. I know that our own Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin is a supporter of both and will continue to fight in advancement of both of these acts. Ensuring fair elections, ensuring that gerrymandering is no longer occurring, to ensure accountability within our election process, to ensure the impartiality and fairness of the process, to ensure that those who have the right in our minority communities are ensured their right to vote, are all key factors in both of these acts, the Freedom to Vote Act and the John Lewis Voting Rights Advancement Act.
Did January 6th increase the potential for those kinds of threats and violence in Wisconsin?
Well, I think what we saw, you know, on January 6th, 2021 in Washington, D.C., I think that we can confidently say it can occur in any one of our communities. And it has raised a question among poll workers, I think, across our country, in the safety of our polling places. If our own U.S. Capitol can be attacked, could not our voting places of voting also be attacked and be under threats? And I think that that has the potential to diminish very committed poll workers from taking on those responsibilities, while at the same time raising the concern among voters themselves.
Assuming that all of the many cases against former President Trump are still going on later in 2024 as we get to the, you know, the fall, heading into an election. What's your message to Wisconsin-based supporters of former President Trump when it comes to what they are hearing, what they are reading on social media, versus what the actual situation is like in Wisconsin when it comes to the fairness of our elections?
I think that no matter who an individual votes for, they must be mindful of the democratic process and ensuring that all citizens who have the right to vote are ensured that right. And that those that we elect to office have the character, have the integrity and credibility to lead our nation, because they not only lead this nation, but in many ways, we know that they lead this world and the challenges that are before us today and will be before us in the future. And whoever you vote for must possess those very basic of character, value, characteristics. And that we think about ourselves and what we would want for our families and make sure that we're electing the best candidates to represent our democracy when we do that.
Two final questions for you. The first one deals with Dane County, where you served as a sheriff for a number of years. And the, in my point of view, the division, the intentional divisive language used by some people about voters in those big cities, you know, specifically Madison and Milwaukee versus other places. What can we do to reduce the demonization of people who vote in one particular, you know, large community?
The real tragedy of today's politics is the polarization of our political process. And as you just said, the demonization of those on the other side of our respective political beliefs. In fact, our elected officials need to keep in mind that they represent all citizens, Democrat, Republican, Independent, Green, and no political affiliation whatsoever, who just want a fair democratic process by which to place their vote for the candidate of their choosing. You know, whether you live in urban Dane County or Milwaukee or rural Bayfield County, your right to vote is the same. Your priorities for your respective communities are the same. We all want safe communities, good schools, good paying jobs. No one political party has the angle on that. And we need to ensure that, you know, the rights of all individuals to vote for their respective candidate is upheld.
And then finally, for all of this talk about the potential threats to democracy, the potential disruption of elections, no doubt one of the effects of all of that, whether intended or not, is some people will say, well, then why bother? Why bother voting? Why get involved? Can we end on the note of your message to all potential qualified voters about the importance of voting, despite all of the rhetoric, the criminal trials, everything else that's out there? Talk to me about your take on the value of participatory democracy.
You know, generations of men and women have fought to ensure the rights of all individuals to have a right to vote, whether members of our military or on the streets of America, have fought to ensure the right to vote, a very basic freedom that we enjoy in the United States. In some ways, I think we take for granted. But our vote is our most valued possession. And to be able to exercise that vote cannot be taken for granted and must be exercised to honor those who did give up their lives and to ensure the freedoms that we enjoy in this great nation. I would hope that all eligible voters get out and vote, whoever their candidate is, and let the vote speak for itself, to do the research, to find the facts, and then make your conscious decision.
Former Dane County Sheriff David Mahoney, as we approach the anniversary of the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol. Sheriff, thank you so much. We appreciate your words. We appreciate your insight. And thank you for being part of our program today.
Thank you, Pat. Have a great day.
And a reminder that on our website, upnorthnewswi.com, you'll find an article I just published there, with a reminder that the insurrection is about more than just the violent attack. It's the actions of people like Congressman Tom Tiffany and Scott Fitzgerald, Ron Johnson, and Bob Spindell, a fake elector who still sits on the Wisconsin Elections Commission. We'll talk to Dan Schumacher and wrap up our Friday visit after this. You're up north.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North.
910 AM WBZH.
Tune into The Empowered Caregiver with me, Liza Hellenbrand, every Wednesday evening at 7.
On the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
All right, how do we want to play this? Dan, you want to do Name That Tune? Or
sure.
We want Greg just to tell us what he put up there.
No, I didn't do it.
All right, Dan, it's Name That Tune.
World. It's Eyes of the World, but it's a lower 70s version, I want to say, because Branford's not on there. Branford Marcellus. That's my favorite. The late 80s, Branford used to sit in on this song specifically. With his harmony and saxophone.
Interesting.
Okay. Ain't no nerd like a deadhead nerd.
Because a deadhead by the way, nerd has all the facts.
When he played keyboard, he had to put some napkins underneath one of the legs to keep it sturdy. I mean, Dan knows everything, every detail. It's crazy that way. Yeah, Mr. Schumacher, how are you? Did you have a good holiday?
Well. I'm waiting for someday to see the sun.
Someday. Someday. Know? Yep. But till then, you know, that's why a lot of us pay attention to the winter sports, you know, hockey, your basketball, the things that bring us indoors. We're going to talk about that outdoor sport involving the Packers and the Bears in just a minute. But before I lose track of things here, talking about the indoor winter sports, the Bucks beat the Spurs last night, 125-121. What's that? Yeah, they did.
I said they won. They were losing a couple in a row there.
I know, but... I don't follow the NBA closely. I follow it enough to know that this Victor Wembanyama on the Spurs, this rookie sensation who turned 20 yesterday, like he's the one to watch. And everybody was waiting for this first game between him and Giannis. And apparently it lived up to the hype. And, you know, that's kind of your future of the NBA right there.
Sure.
So it's nice to have exciting young players. So the Bucks wrap up a 3-game road trip tomorrow in Houston. You can catch that game on Oshkosh Air Support, also on News from the Center and Richland Center, Lake Erin Amory, WRJN and Racine, and 98Q Country and Park Falls. So did you do over the holidays, Dan, take any trips, do anything of a particular interest? Were you
I did not. I spent time with mostly family, you know, as most of us did. And I had all my three children that were, you know, it's hard to get them all in the room at the same time. So they were all there, and my daughter hosted Christmas and she cooked, and it was a wonderful holiday, nice and easy, a lot of rest. And you know, college athletics at Division III around the state, they shut down on the 15th of December, and then they're allowed to start playing again on the 28th. So it's a nice break on both sides, both the athletic side, academic side, and then, of course, because of the holiday, it's a good time to catch up with people and get some rest.
That's what made the holiday especially nice for us, is we have a son-in-law who works for the Western Michigan University hockey team, and they did take a break. In past years, they'd been in holiday tournaments.
Right.
And, you know, whether you're in a holiday tournament or your band is playing in a New Year's Day parade or whatever, it's a nice thing, but what's also really nice is to not have to work over the holidays.
Right.
Mm. So
I mean, the Wisconsin State League sure did make noise over the break here. Especially down at school down along the river called La Crosse. So that's been an interesting follow by everybody in my industry right now.
Yeah. Really? Is there something happening in La Crosse?
Yeah.
It's getting spicy, Pat.
Yeah. So yeah. It's been quite the fall for the Wisconsin State League, losing an athletic director that passed away, and this kind of news, and it takes away from what the student athletes are really doing and the coaches are doing. So it's just a distraction, something that's unexplainable.
All right, let's get to Sunday. Packers, Bears, Sunday, 3:25, Lambeau Field. Packers, nobody picked the Packers to beat the Bears in the season opener. And instead, the Packers won quite handily, actually. Now, Jordan Love has had his ups and downs. Justin Fields has had his ups and downs. So where do you think the ups and downs will lie this Sunday between those two quarterbacks?
I actually believe that Jordan Love will come out on top. I think the Packers will beat the Bears. They're at home. They're playing much better than they did week one. You know, I also think that there's some extra pressure on Justin Fields, because the big question is, what do the Bears do with the number one draft pick? Do they move on from Fields and grab a quarterback, or do they keep Fields and use that to trade away to get additional picks to build the roster? So I think the Packers are happy with the performance of Love, especially down the stretch here. But at the same time, I believe that the way the Bears have been playing the last 5-6 weeks, they've won a bunch of games. It might have saved the coach's job.
There are a lot of difficult things about sports, but one of them way up the list has to be when you have a first-year quarterback and he doesn't, you know, blow the barn doors off, and you have to then do this gut check of, is he going to develop, or do you go, okay, you did not pass the audition, next. And let's be honest, it wasn't just Bears fans. Packer fans were doing that with Love during that four-game losing streak as well.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, it's such a fickle situation, and it's like this with every NFL team. You know, I still struggle with the fact is that there's going to be a ton of players sitting out this weekend. Bunch of quarterbacks, starting quarterbacks. I mean, from the Eagles to the Dolphins, to heck, even Brock Purdy for the 49ers is going to be sitting, and he's a rookie. So a lot of players are going to be sitting, getting ready for the playoffs that start the following week.
Sure. Well, I mean, that happens pretty much everywhere in every sport. If you're guaranteed to be in the playoffs, why risk any injury or anything like that? So we'll have that to you'll have that to look forward to.
What's happening? The weather for that? What is the weather Sunday? Have you checked?
Greg hangs on Brittany Merlot's every utterance, and I believe she had said something like the system that's coming in this weekend will have just moved away in time for the game. So we're not looking at an ice bowl or anything like that, Mr. Bach.
Okay, first of all, don't make me sound like a crazy person here.
No, I am.
You know what? It's not that tough. I mean, come on, admit it.
Fair.
Wait, there's
30, it's supposed to be 36 and cloudy in Green Bay on Sunday.
Oh well.
Okay.
So that big storm is all going to skirt south of us then.
Yes, I did recall Brittany saying repeatedly this week it's going to attack Chicago.
I've never heard a meteorologist use the word flirt in.
Yes.
And she does it perfectly.
And remember yesterday her term was that wind is going to come smack you up or something like that. So very happy to have Brittany doing all of that. So no, we won't have weather will not be a factor. The only thing that's going to be a factor is how many bar stools separate you and me as we're watching the game on Sunday here. Aww. So look out for that. It's always fun.
It'll be a fun game. At least it's something to watch that they're playing for something.
Exactly. All right, Dan. Thanks so much. Have a great start to the weekend. Talk to you soon. Greg, have a fun weekend.
Thank you, sir.
All right. And we want to thank all of you for being part of Up North News Radio for this week, first week of 2024, live from Lake Wissota across the Civic Media Radio Network. Have a wonderful weekend. We'll see you back here bright and early, Monday morning, 6 a.m.
Birchwood to Poplar. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, your home for news, talk, and sports. Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
Less calories and fat, and oh so delicious. It's what every light bread wants to be. Leave it to the bakers of Village Hearth to have the perfect recipes that pack goodness and flavor into every package while still keeping it trim. With Village Hearth light bread and buns, you can lighten up on the calories and fat without losing out on the great taste. There's simply more to savor and nothing to sacrifice. With our light wheat, light 12 grain, and light Italian bread and buns, there's a light, tasty favorite for everyone in the family. Village Hearth, baking our best for you.
This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.